Wednesday night, if you weren't here Wednesday night, did you at least catch the video on demand on the YouTube? You need to if you didn't. It was refreshing. It was good from a good faith perspective to look at the world from God's view and know where we are, how we're to act, how we're to talk, how we're to think, believe, and stand, okay? So it'll help you. But I think I'm going to have to do some more today about the world crisis that's at hand, which may not be that much of a crisis, but it sure feels like a crisis. So we want to talk about it. And the reason is, you know, typically around here, I don't like to let the world dictate what we preach. So on the days that the world says we got to be doing so, I don't really like to do what they say to do. I'd rather God say. I don't want the government or the world telling us what to preach. But in this case, it's not just a secular thing. It's kind of a worldwide thing. And what's happening is it's speaking into Christians' lives. And so because it is speaking into Christian lives, I think we should. When the devil talks to you, you got to talk back. So I think it warrants two services at least to address the other side of what this crisis seems to be presenting, okay? Which, again, may not be as big a crisis as we think. I think there's a lot of precaution being taken, which is not a bad thing necessarily, but the reaction to it could be bad. And so for us as believers, and particularly the ones that we're responsible for, we want to make sure that we have a right perspective and are doing things well in our own soul, and then our own actions. So I think Houston Faith Church people here, I think we're pretty prepared for this type of thing. But I want to make sure you recognize how prepared you really are. Because the threat is out there. But when the threat comes, man, I'm not alarmed. I think most of us are built in the Word of God enough. Not everybody, but most are built here in the Word of God that when a threat comes like this, we're not moved. We know enough. We're trained. This is one reason why you get trained ahead of time. Because it's hard to change a person once they're frantic. If they don't know the truth, now is not the time to teach the world. The time to teach the world is long before a crisis hits, where we get them saved, filled with the Spirit, trained in the Word of God, so they're prepared. Well, we're those people. We're the prepared ones now. So just know that. You're prepared. There's nothing to be afraid of. You're sustained. You're trusting God. You know, Wednesday night we brought up the scripture that says that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. Right. What that means is don't trust in all of the things you could do. Like, don't trust in your handy wipes more than God. Right. We trust in God, not in our natural precautions. What I mean is you don't put your faith in your natural precautions. Right. Well, then, if that's what you got your faith in, you're stuck. We trust God to protect us regardless of natural precautions, which aren't necessarily a bad thing. Just don't put your faith in those things. So Wednesday night, we kind of addressed some of this just so that we, number one, don't get into any kind of fear whatsoever. We cannot allow any of us to be scared or anxious or worried about anything, whether it's the disease itself, or whether it's running out of food at the grocery store, or whether it's the economy, retirement plans, anything like that, no fear. Come on. Amen. Let's just live above. This is our good chance to do the Bible. Amen. This is our chance to not be moved at all. This is our chance that in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. This is your chance to be of good cheer. So are you happy?
Yes.
Is everybody happy in spite of? Okay, this is our chance to be real Christians in the face of adversity and threat and darkness and demonic stuff. You know, you have to take a step back and recognize that this is such a strange thing that's occurred. Not even an imminent, you know, disaster of war or loss of life. Just a threat that it might possibly be widespread. All of a sudden now we're alerted that diseases actually kill people occasionally. Really? This is new? It's so strange that it must be supernatural. And I think that's what even the president said. You know, when the president catches the fact that it's supernatural and must be dealt with supernaturally, then I think that's pretty clear. It's pretty supernatural. Number one, the disease itself is demonic driven. It's demon driven. It's a virus. It's from the devil. It's evil. It's dark. But number two, the hysteria is so strange. We've never quite seen it like this anywhere around the world about this type of thing. And we've had viruses for decades, centuries. Even with mass media, we've had viruses. So this is so strange that I believe it warrants a real acknowledgement that this is demonic. The deception, the fear, the hysteria, the change your whole life, bend and bow to this thing in every way, change your companies, you know, just stop society. That's quite strange. Okay, so because of it, it's demonic. Wednesday night, we did get into the spirit in prayer and hit something. And, you know, stop some things. Today, we'll do some more. But you need to know that we have an answer for this. And first of all, you in your own life, you're okay. You can be okay. Us in our domestic families, we can be okay. As a church, we can be okay. And then we can start impacting the city, meaning helping the city, helping the state, helping the country, and then helping the world. But we have a sphere of influence, and we've got to use most of our faith for the closest part. You understand? We can't just pray for all the sick people in the whole wide world. That may be okay to do, but there's not a whole lot of authority that you have to fix that. You know what I mean? But by and large, we can take a stand against the darkness that's invading the world. We can take a stand against the demonic activity that's causing nations to make kind of dramatic decisions that are impacting people. So anyway, but I want to give you a picture today. If you'll turn your Bible to Acts chapter 10, and just to help us realize why we are like we are. What you have to know around here is we're gospel people. We're Word of God people here. And we want you to be a Word of God person. So that's why we're preaching as we do. We're Word of God people. We believe the Bible. And man, if I can't believe the Bible, I'm done. If I can't believe the Bible more highly than natural circumstances and other news around me, I might as well go home and watch television. Really, I mean, if that's the case, I'm done. I shouldn't even be here. Because I got in this because I found out you could trust the Word. I got with God because He was true. And all of a sudden, the Word of God was more true, and let every man be a liar. If it has to come to this, you know, God's true and every man's a liar. I'm not calling people liars, but in comparison to God, yeah. And so God's Word goes against a lot of stuff that humans do say and think. Acts chapter 10. Now, so this is a sermon that Peter preached, but Luke wrote it. And then he said something about Jesus that kind of summarizes Jesus' ministry here. And this is what he said, Acts chapter 10. Before I continue, let me just give this disclaimer. I realize that there is loss of life out there. I realize that some people are affected to the point of actually dying. And I know it's sad for people that are affected. I know it's sad for people that lose family members. I get that. But people have been dying from the flu for a long time. People have been dying from other things for a long time. And it just so happens this particular virus is similar in the way it affects people with pre-existing conditions. Anybody in the past with a pre-existing condition was at risk. It was more at risk when they got the flu than non-pre-existing patients. So this is very similar to some of that. So we don't want to overblow it. We want to take precaution. We want to do what we can. But at the same time, let's keep it in perspective that we've been dealing with this kind of stuff for years without having to invade the grocery stores and all that. Acts 10 verse 38 kind of summarizes Jesus' ministry. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. What did he have on him? He was anointed with what? Holy Spirit and power. Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So he got Holy Spirit and power, and then he went and healed everybody oppressed by the devil because God was with him. See the picture? It's very simple. When Jesus got Holy Spirit and power, He destroyed the devil, the works of the devil. He healed all oppressed by the devil. You got it?
Yep.
Oppression is from the devil. It's never from God. It doesn't say that he left those who were oppressed by God sick. No, because God's not doing the oppression. It's the devil. So this is the work of the devil. Yep. Jesus got Holy Spirit and power so he could destroy the works of the devil, so that he could heal all oppressed by the devil.
Amen.
What did he have?
Holy Spirit and power.
It looks like Holy Spirit and power is all that's necessary to heal all those oppressed by the devil.
Amen.
How many of you have Holy Spirit?
Amen.
How many of you have power?
Amen.
Jesus said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses." So you got power and you got Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Therefore, you can and should do the same thing.
Amen.
Holy Spirit and power is all it takes to heal those that are oppressed of the devil.
Amen.
How serious are you about it? Is Acts 10:38 in your heart? I don't know about you, when I got in this thing, man, Acts 10:38 was part of the bell that rang for me. It's like, oh, I can fix some problems now. Oh, God needs me to have the power so that I can help the hurting.
Amen.
And so all of a sudden, I got on top of the mountain instead of under the mountain. I got able instead of feeble.
Right.
I want everybody to feel that. Is this true? Or not.
Amen.
Go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. So let's take a look at Jesus. He had Holy Spirit and power and it changed him. Got it? He had Holy Spirit power and it made him act different, think different, talk different, live different. And so, you know, WWJD. How would Jesus react today? What would Jesus be doing if he was in the earth? How does he think? What would he do? What would he say? Wouldn't he be a good one to follow?
Yes.
And I have a feeling Jesus wouldn't close church.
Right.
Now, I'm not totally putting down church. I'm not putting down churches that had to close and decided to close. I'm not doing that. But what I will say is this, we will never not have church. And if it comes down to it, Pastor Joni and I will be here. She'll be up on the stage dancing. I'll be over here having church. And I know a bunch of you will still be here. I understand that. Just know that that's our stance. Why? Because I can't let the world's threat stop the family of God. Stop the kingdom of God. Stop. Listen, if this gets worse, church is the place where people need to be. No way. No other. There's no other thing that makes any sense whatsoever for gospel people. There's no other way. We are not playing games around here. We are not doing religious churchianity just to say we've had church. This is reality or it's not. It can't be both.
Amen.
Either we believe this and God is real and He is with us and He is our Savior and our healer and our deliverer, or He's not. But I'm not going to give a message to the world that we're not so sure. We were just kind of doing this just to have some fun. This is serious. Gospel is serious. And there are going to be people that are so scared they're going to need church.
Amen.
On the other hand, what else are you going to do? This is live. This is reality for us. Okay? So the only thing that we will do is be wise. But our wisdom doesn't mean avoid people so I don't catch it. That's fear. Wisdom is, if I got sick, maybe I ought not go around all the people. Now that would be wise. If you do get diagnosed with the virus, call us. I'll come to your house and pray for you at your house. And get you fixed, then you come. So the wise thing is just if you think you're sick, you don't get around people and spread it.
Right.
The wise thing is not to avoid contact with all humanity.
Right. Come on. Preach it.
So we're not throwing out all natural wisdom, but we are throwing out all fear.
Amen.
I'm not going to live my life so that nothing ever bad happens to me.
Right.
You can't go through life like that. I'm never going to drive on the road because I might have a wreck. You can't live like that. I think what's happened is the world is a bunch of sissies these days. In the old day, I mean, they had to go to work. In the old day, they had to continue living their life, and they just did it in the face of death. But now it's like, oh, I can't do anything. Government, please protect me. That's the attitude that we don't want to have. As Christians, we got a different attitude.
Amen.
As Christians, we got a I can solve this problem attitude. As Christians, we got a I got a God that covers me attitude. Amen. And that's what I want you to get a revelation of. But you got to have a revelation of it. I'm not saying this just so that you can go toot the horn and kind of make fun of people that are scared or something. No, oh, please don't do that. No, we're here to help people. Amen. We're here to be the solid ones who are in, who have a sense of constitution and strength in us. Okay. So as you talk to people, don't put them down and don't act like you're something better than them. Just let give off the atmosphere that I'm okay. Amen. I'm all right. I'm safe. I know something. What do you know? I got inside information. What is it? I got something that some scientists don't even know about. Rather than looking at pictures of the virus, look at the Bible. How about that? So we need the right attitude, a faith attitude, a I'm with God attitude, and this is real, and he will save me and deliver me and keep me safe. And if anything did seem to happen, he'll recover me quickly type thing. I mean, like I'm not a scared of nothing. And that's just how we act. That's how I think Jesus would be. And let me prove it to you, because Jesus, he had to deal with stuff like this. Okay? And this is an account, Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he, Jesus, had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And then Jesus said, where is your face mask? No. Now listen. So here we have a leper who, as a Jewish law, could not be in the presence of any other person. They had to put him in a colony. And it was a religious thing as well, that if you couldn't go in the temple for sure, but if you felt like you were well, you had to go to the priest and get approval to come back into society. And so here he is right in the middle of talking to Jesus, the rabbi. And so this is a monumental thing in the first place. And Jesus is going to heal him. But even when Elijah healed a leper back in the Old Testament, but he didn't touch him. Matter of fact, he sent his servant. He said, go out there and you tell him to go dip in the river. And then the servant comes back and said he wouldn't listen. And so he, from afar, from off the porch basically, he told him what to do. So and then Moses got a leper healed, but he didn't lay hands. Jesus, first one to lay hands. Here's what it says. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed, and Jesus got some handy wipes as quick as he could. I don't really want to make too much light, but again, I do want to address the fact, don't put trust in yourselves. Trust in God. Don't trust in your natural means of staying safe. I don't know that clean hands is the big deal. It can help, like any other virus. You should be keeping clean hands just like you did with the flu when it was going around. Have you ever noticed people try to keep their hands clean during flu season and still catch the flu? I'm not sure that natural means is the way you want to do it. I think you want to rise a little bit taller and trust in the Lord and find a way to connect to the Lord about it. Okay. But Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I'm willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So Jesus was not afraid of the leper. Right? We've ministered to many people who were contagious, some severe skin stuff, contaminated, fevers, all sorts of sicknesses and death. We've laid hands, we've ministered, knowing that in the natural, sure, you could catch the thing. But in the supernatural, no, I'm going beyond this. I'm in the shoes of Jesus. I have Holy Spirit and power. And this has got to be true. It's got to be true. It's either true or it's not true, but I'm not going to play around. I'm not going to act like you can be healed, but I'm going to catch what you got and get sick.
Right.
Amen. Right. Amen.
We don't do just nice little prayers to make you feel like you got prayer. I'm not interested in praying for that. Honestly, I'm not interested in just being nice in my praying. Either I'm going to pray expecting a result, or I'm not going to pray. I'm just not interested in that. I don't. It's not honest between me and God. It's a big deal to be honest. For me, I'm all about truth and honesty. And it's, I won't do things up here, and I won't do things in my personal life that's not honest between me and God. I just don't live like that. That makes no sense whatsoever. The girdle of truth, the belt of truth, is the first thing you got to get on you. So play in church, faking your spirituality is a no-no.
Amen.
That amounts to nothing. Jesus showed us how to handle this. I'm gonna believe this way. I'm not going to be afraid of having to pray for sick people. It's either true or it's not true, but it can't be both. Either the power of God's bigger than disease and death, or it's not, but it can't be both. So I'm going to choose one or the other. You got to choose one or the other. I'm going to choose the Word.
Amen.
I'm a gospel guy. I'm a Word person. I'm serious about this. It's either this or nothing for me.
Amen.
If you try to, if this is not going to work, then I'm going to go home. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. But you got to get revelation of this stuff. It's got to be in your heart or it won't work. Okay, this is not just so you can have a little nice thing to say to people. This, you know, this is revelation stuff. You got to know it in your heart. You got to catch it in your heart or it won't do its job. Does anybody know the name John Alexander Dowie? John Dowie, he was at the turn of the 20th century, he was a preacher from Australia that had a great healing ministry. And really, probably the greatest healing ministry out of all the healing ministries that we've heard of. And he was one of the forerunners. But it started because he got a revelation. Now, the end of his days was kind of weird. He turned flaky. He didn't have quite the truth of the doctrine, and he got weird about it. But we're not going to throw out all the good stuff just because he got weird at the end. There's been a whole lot of preachers that see what God does is he trusts imperfect vessels. He puts his glory through imperfect vessels, and we love it until imperfection comes out. But you don't throw out all the good stuff just because the imperfection was seen in somebody or the character flaw was seen in somebody. Still, God's still true. And so you don't want to throw out John Alexander Dowie's ministry just because he got weird at the end. And maybe even in the middle of it, he wasn't perfect in all the things he taught and said and all that. But the bottom line is he did know the power of God. He did find a revelation about God's healing power, and he blessed many from it. Matter of fact, a lot of the people that we study from, like John G. Lake, Lillian B. Yeomans, Raymond T. Ritchie, the Houston revivalist that changed the city back in the 60s, a lot of them got their start from John Dowie. But let me read you this thing here. You mind if I read it to you? Okay, now if you're sleepy, okay, I'm not going to look at all the sleepy people. If you're sleepy, then either stand up and admit your fault and go stand at the back. But I'm going to read you this because it kind of helps us. There's some ingredients. Anytime you hear testimony, anytime you study something or hear from somebody, search for the ingredients. Search for the keys. Search for what made it tick. Why did it happen? Not just that it happened, but what caused the miracle? What was the catalyst? What was going on in their soul? Because if you can mimic that, then you can have the miracle. You can't just mimic miracles. You got to connect to God in the way. So I like to think a little deeper when I'm reading a testimony. What did he see? What did he know? What happened on the inside of him? What caused God to answer a prayer? Because it wasn't just fancy praying. But anyway, let's read this here. He started off as a pastor in Australia. At noontide, 16 years ago, I sat in my study in the parsonage of the Congregational Church at Newtown, a suburb of the beautiful city of Sydney, Australia. Did you know Sydney was beautiful? Well, now you do. My heart was very heavy, for I had been visiting the sick and dying beds of more than 30 of my flock, and I had cast the dust to its kindred dust into more than 40 graves in a few weeks. Where, oh, where was he who used to heal his suffering children? No prayer for healing seemed to reach his ear, and yet I knew his hand had not been shortened. Still, it did not save from death even those for whom there was so much in this life to live for God and others. Strong men, fathers, good citizens, and more than all, true faithful Christians sickened with a putrid fever, suffered nameless agonies, passed into delirium, sometimes with convulsions, and then died. And oh, what aching voids were left in many a widowed, orphaned heart. And there were many homes where one by one the little children, the youths, and the maidens were stricken. And after hard struggling with the foul disease, they too lay cold and dead. It seems sometimes as if I could almost hear the triumphant mockery of fiends, demons, you know, ringing in my ear while I spoke to the bereaved ones the words of Christian hope and consolation. Disease, the foul offspring of its father, Satan, and its mother, sin, was defiling and destroying the earthly temples of God's children, and there was no deliverer. So here he's going through a turmoil of having to watch suffering. And a lot of the Christians who found power before God did it after getting fed up with suffering. And there I sat with sorrow, bowed head for my afflicted people until the bitter tears came to relieve my burning heart. And then I prayed for some message, and oh, how I longed to hear some words from him who had wept and sorrowed for the suffering long ago, the man of sorrows and sympathies. And then the words of the Holy Ghost, inspired in Acts 10:38, stood before me all radiant with light, revealing Satan as the defiler and Christ as the healer. So now he's getting his revelation. Now he's seeing it with his heart. My tears were wiped away. My heart was strong. I saw the way of healing, and the doctor thereto was open wide. And so I said, God, help me now to preach that word to all the dying around and tell them how it is Satan that still defies and Jesus still delivers, for he is just the same today. So here he's getting the revelation and getting excited. Help me get this message out before anything's ever happened. A loud ring and several loud raps at the outer door, a rush of feet, and then at my door, two panting messengers who said, oh, come at once, Mary is dying, come and pray. With such a feeling as a shepherd who hears that his sheep are being torn from the fold by a cruel wolf, I rushed from my house, ran hatless down the street. You're supposed to wear a hat back then. And entered the room of the dying maiden. There she lay groaning, grinding her clenched teeth in the agony of the conflict with the destroyer, the white froth mingled with her blood oozing from her pain-distorted mouth. I looked at her, and then my anger burned. Oh, I thought, for some sharp word of heavenly temper, keen to slay this cruel foe who is strangling that lovely maiden like an invisible serpent, tightening his deadly coils for a final victory. This sounds like a Shakespearean novel, man. You ought to read this kind of stuff instead of Shakespeare. But you see what's happening here. He's in the moment. He's now at the point of conflict. Now he's there. He's face to face with the devil. What's going to happen? The doctor that was there, a good Christian man, was quietly walking up and down the room, sharing the mother's pain and grief. Presently, he stood at my side and said, sir, are not God's ways mysterious? Instantly, the sword was flashing in my hand, the Spirit's sword, the Word of God. God's way, I said, pointing to the scene of conflict. How dare you, doctor, call that God's way of bringing his children home from earth to heaven? No, sir, that's the devil's work. Amen. And it's time we called on him who came to destroy the work of the devil, to slay that deadly foul destroyer and to save the child. Can you pray, doctor? Can you pray the prayer of faith that saves the sick? At once, offended at my words, my friend was changed, saying, you are too much excited, sir. It is best to say, God's will be done. Once you begin to catch some of this and take it on in your soul and decide you're going to be a gospel person, a Word of God person, a kingdom builder, a true disciple of Jesus Christ, siding with the Word of God before anything else, once you become that type of a person, somebody's not going to like it. Somebody's going to get offended. Somebody's going to try to hush you up. You'll just have to be prepared for that. Somebody's going to make fun of you. They're going to... Anyway. So he left the room. He said the word was quite inadequate for what I was almost frenzied with divinely imparted anger and hatred of that foul destroyer, which was doing Satan's will. It's not so, I exclaim. No will of God sends such cruelty. And I never say God's will be done to Satan's works.
Amen.
Which God's own Son came to destroy. And this is one of them. Oh, how the word of God was burning in my heart. Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And was not God with me? And was not Jesus there and all his promises true? I felt that it was even so, and turning to the mother, I inquired, why did you send for me? To which she answered, do pray, oh, pray for her that God may raise her up. So we prayed. What did I say? It may be that I cannot now recall the words without mistake, but words are in themselves of small importance. The prayer of faith may be a voiceless prayer, a simple heartfelt look of confidence into the face of Christ. Catch that. It's not about all your words. It's the faith behind them. It's the heart that connects to God in confidence. The heart that knows about what to happen is going to happen, regardless of if I flub it or not. At such a moment, words were few, but they mean much, for God is looking at the heart. Still, I can remember much of that prayer until this day, and asking God to aid, I will endeavor to recall it. And so he tells the prayer, but I'm not going to tell it because it's not important. Because then we'll try to get this printed and I'll pray the prayer. Rather than connect to the one who's got the power, we're going to try to pray the exact same thing Dowie did. That's where we miss it. We get all human about it. But then the maid lay still in sleep, so deep and sweet that the mother said in a low whisper, is she dead? No, I answered in a whisper lower. Mary will live. The fever is gone. She's perfectly well and sleeping as an infant sleeps. Smoothing the long dark hair from her now peaceful brow and feeling the steady pulsation of her heart and cool moist hands, I saw Christ had heard, and that once more, as long ago in Peter's house, he touched her and the fever left her. Turning to the nurse, I said, get me at once a cup of cocoa and several slices of bread and butter. That's what they eat in Australia. Works for here too. Beside the sleeping maid, we sat quietly and almost silently until the nurse returned. And then I bent over and snapped my fingers and said, Mary. Instantly she awoke, smiled and said, oh, sir, when did you come? I have slept so long. And then she stretched out her arms to meet her mother's embrace. She said, Mother, I feel so well and I'm hungry. And so they fed her the cocoa and the bread. And in a few minutes, she fell asleep, breathing easily and softly, and she was healed. Quietly thanking God, we left her bed and went to the next room where the brother and sister also lay sick of the same fever. With those two, we also prayed and they were healed. That begins a whole new thing for him. Not one more person from his church died of that plague. Okay, everybody needs a start. But the ingredients are important. He was desperate. He was fed up. He was hurt. The devil had hurt him, and it infuriated him. The devil had hurt his people, it infuriated his people. You have to get an attitude against death and disease and sickness and the works of the devil. And we can throw in sin. If you'll get an attitude about how much you hate sin, you'll stop it. The problem is we don't spend the time to get angry enough at these devilish things. So we live with them, and so they continue, and we just kind of take it, and we hope that it doesn't happen to us, and we hope that we can stop the sinning, and it's just a weird cycle. Sometimes you're forced, like he was forced into this, and you'll find some people in the healing ministry were forced into the healing ministry because they lived such a life of trauma and torture and torment for years and years and years. John G. Lake was the same way. 32 years his family was losing family members. People had died. I mean, 32 years of sickness, death, disease, nurses, hospitals, torment. Okay? And then something happened. So most of us don't have a life of that much torment to become a great healing evangelist. But if you want to keep yourself well, you're going to have to go through something. You're going to have to spend a little more time in the prayer room to cultivate a real attitude, right. A real decision about the truth. Are you going to side with the truth? Are you going to get inflamed against a headache? Against a fever? I mean, when do we do it? When do we decide that we're going to get serious about it? until we get the revelation. Until we get desperate, we won't get the revelation. And until we get the revelation, nothing changes for us. Because without the revelation, it just won't work. It'll just feel feeble. It'll just be, oh, everybody, just let me pray. I'm just trying to pray. I'm just trying to pray. You got to get something in your eyeball that looks like faith. Something in your heart has to spring up. But it comes by revelation. It comes by desire. It comes by you and I deciding, you know what? I'm not going to have this devil's works. The problem is we haven't practiced enough sometimes. And so, you know, it's almost like we don't dislike the sick bed enough. Some people kind of halfway enjoy the sick bed. Get to stay home from work. Netflix, binge on Netflix. That's the term, I guess. Binge on Netflix. I was sick, but I got to binge on Netflix. It's an attitude problem. Chicken noodle soup. Look, if you like chicken, if chicken noodle soup was so great, why don't you eat it all the time? But I say the same thing about Thanksgiving meals. If they were so great, how come you don't cook that all the time? Anyway, sorry. The problem is we're too comfortable. Like one of the motivators for you getting well by the power of God and for not getting sick is that you hate to miss work. I hate missing work and I hate missing school. I hate disease. I hate bacteria. I hate virus. I hate fever. Hate cold. Hate flu. I ain't missing work. As soon as you stand up against it with some attitude, you'll find that you don't have to miss work. You'll find that you don't get sick as much. But there's just a lot of people that enjoy missing work. You need an extra... What's going to motivate you to not want to be sick? You get a little extra attention. That's good. Spouse takes care of you. That's good. Mom and dad take care of you. That's good. Get to catch up on all your shows, whatever. But obviously what we're doing right now is different than the ways of the world, isn't it?
Yeah.
This attitude's different. This is gospel people. This is people that know something about God and believe it. Right. Read something about in the Bible and believe it. And until you believe it, you can't experience it. Until you say yes to it, you just won't see it. Until you recognize that you know, John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, He who believes the works that I do, he will do also.
Right.
Jesus touched the leper. He said, you can touch the leper.
Right.
Not for fun, not just to show off. But to do the works of Jesus. He said, you can do the works, and greater works than these will you do because I'm going to go to my Father. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it.
Right.
He said, you can do the work. So that means you can touch the thing and it won't hurt you.
Amen.
Why are you doing it? To help somebody. Listen, the world's going to need help.
Amen.
People are going to need help.
Amen.
Who are they going to go to? They got to know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
They got to know who at the office is different. Go to Romans chapter 8. Jesus was not afraid of death, disease, sin, or sickness. Or devil. Romans 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So again, you will have to live in the Spirit. You have to get in the Spirit, or it won't make sense to you. If it's not making sense to you right now, you're not quite in the Spirit enough. Because if you're in the Spirit, this will light your flame. I mean, this will ring your bell. This will make you happy. This will spark you on the inside. If you're not sparked on the inside, nudge your neighbor and say, hey, slap me in the face. And no, I'm just saying... Just recognize if this isn't lighting your fire, your wood's wet and you need a little help, okay? You need to come around a little bit more often. You need to find some Christian friends. Really, you need some good Christian friends in your life. Just trying to help you. Just trying to help you. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, what is that? That sounds quite theological. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. So first of all, you're free from the old bad law, which is the law of sin and death, which means because of sin, you have to experience death. And it applies to many realms. It applies to eternal death. The old law was that if you sin, you experience eternal death. And also in the earth, if you sin, you experience some death, some curse. But now the new law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has freed me from that law. So the law changed. Or you changed countries. However you want to look at it, the new law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, set me free from this death and destruction law. Okay? So I don't know what the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is, but it sounds wonderful. And I'm thankful to have it. Now let me learn what it is. Let me learn what it can do for me. The law of the Spirit of life, Spirit of life, Spirit of life. There's a Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And it's a law. Which means if you come in contact with the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you will know it. If evil comes in contact with the Spirit of life, with the law, like when people get in trouble by the law, when people violate the law, there's blinking lights, tickets, handcuffs, bars. When evil violates the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, kerflop. So if you will live in this new Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, there's a law that will take care of you. Amen. You got to walk it out with the Lord. You can't just be an old carnal, flippant Christian. You got to care about these things. You got to recognize this is God's Word. And He's serious about walking with you. And every promise can be yours if you believe it.
Right.
So John G. Lake's story, most of you know that. A couple stories, but I'll... You know, John G. Lake is known for the bubonic plague. He was in South Africa ministering and the bubonic plague hit. And he went over to the next town where everybody was dying to help bury the dead. I mean, some people think, well, why didn't you raise the dead? Well, the Lord didn't have him raise the dead. He had him go be a good Christian and bury the dead. But while he's burying the dead, the doctors would come warn him, you better take the vaccine and you better stay away from the dead bodies. Or you'll catch the bubonic plague. And he said, no, I won't catch it. Don't worry about me. Y'all just take care of your business. Don't worry about me. They said, what are you talking about? You're exposed. And he said, no, here, let me show you. He said, can you get some of that foam out of the dead person's mouth and get a microscope? And so he brought them over and they did the little experiment. He said, now there's live germs in this bubonic plague foam. And the doctor said, absolutely. He put it under the microscope and it was alive. And John G. Lake said, now put that in my hand. Put that foam in my hand. Put that pus in my hand. And he said, now put it under the microscope. And all the cells had died.
Glory.
And the doctor said, I don't understand this. He said, that's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's made me free from the law of sin and death. Okay, now that's a story that, you know, it excites everybody. And it's like, wow, praise the Lord. But I'm not happy just for John G. Lake.
Come on.
And I don't think you are either. You're happy because of the potential it gives you. You're happy because now it looks like I can live in a different world and not have to succumb to the darkness and the evil destruction that the devil brings.
Right.
All of a sudden, now I have access to something supernatural that can solve problems. Because if one simple man, John Lake, can do it, I'm sure I could do it. The only thing is you're going to have to know what John G. Lake knew. You're going to have to not just know the scripture and verse of that scripture. You're going to have to know what it feels like in your heart. Your spirit man is going to have to grab it and say, whoa, that changes me. And then you take all of your hand sanitizer from your house and you start handing it out to the scared people. It changes you. It makes you do something different than before. Of course, some of you I know, you should sell it. You should be selling your hand sanitizer. I've seen people wanting to trade your hand sanitizer for cars and stuff, right? Hey, be shrewd. The Bible says we're supposed to be friends with unrighteous mammon. Go out there and sell your hand sanitizer. No, somebody will get me for not being a good Christian. Just give it away, right? But here's what happened to John G. Lake. He had been in this family for 32 years having problems. His brother was 22 years an invalid that bled incessantly from his kidneys. His 34-year-old sister was dying of breast cancer. Another sister was dying of an issue of blood. His wife became an invalid from heart condition and tuberculosis. And they prayed, they asked God, they cried, they never saw it. Lake said, "We are perfect beggars, but bad believers." And this really answers a lot of unanswered prayers. This is the answer for a lot of people's unanswered prayers. We tried, we begged, we pleaded, we wanted, we wished, we prayed, and nothing happened. There's something about believing that overrides all of that sentence. It's got to be in your heart. It's got to revelate. You need a revelation. So if you don't have the revelation, you better ask the Lord. Go spend a little bit more time in prayer, praying in tongues, reading your Bible, getting some faith in you until you can make the decision. You know what? I'm going to live this way. So he took his brother to Dowie's healing home in Chicago. His brother was instantly healed, 22 years invalid. He walked 4 miles back home, came back, took a position in his father's business. Then he took his sister. She was instantly healed of breast cancer. He said it looked like a monstrous evil that fell off of her. His third sister with the issue of blood got healed. Then Lake's wife, John Lake's wife, came to her deathbed at the final hours, and some brother came and said, "Be reconciled to the will of God and let her die." Let her die? John Lake couldn't do that. Where was the strength in that kind of gospel? Suddenly wind kicked up in Lake's soul and a storm blew in with a vengeance. Surely God had been insulted by such a suggestion. Then the storm turned to rage and Lake headed for home. When he got there, he walked... So you got to picture this.
Right.
Has this ever happened in you regarding sickness, disease, fever, whatever? This is the ingredient. This is the catalyst. This is the kind of stuff that makes for miracles. You know, there's got to be something in your soul that says, you know what? I'm going to side with God. He needs me to help. I'm going to get up there and help. And I'm fed up with the devil.
Amen.
When he got there, he walked up to the fireplace, took a Bible off the mantelpiece and threw it on a table. So where was the power, especially now when he needed it most? So here he is by himself without Dowie, and he's kind of almost to the point of frustration, like, okay, now how am I going to get this? His Bible fell open as he threw it to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. The light of the Word shone brightly into his soul, revealing the truth and the power. Jesus is the healer and Satan is the oppressor. Okay, now again, when you hear this, don't think, oh, I'll go do that. I'll go throw my Bible down. No, it wasn't the throwing of the Bible down that got the answer. It was his desperate soul that God knew God better answer, and that was the way it just turned out to answer. The point was that the light shone on his soul.
Amen.
That God is the healer, that Satan's the oppressor, and that there's an answer for destruction. You need that flash in your soul. It was so clear. He said, in the past, though Lake clearly saw that sickness, disease, and death were obviously not from God, he still had not fully understood that behind all these tragedies was the devil. And just as importantly, he saw that God was with him. God was not just with Jesus, John Dowie, and other famous healing evangelists and preachers. But God and his power was with John Lake. John Lake could pray and the sick would recover. He had the same faith and the same Holy Spirit available to him.
Hallelujah.
He said, well, that changed everything. He'd stumbled onto a powder keg of boldness that was about to explode. Now the winds really blew, and a fury of faith churned deep inside Lake. Yes, Jenny was going to be healed. He was sure of it. And it was up to him to do something about it. Healing was coming, but this time Lake decided it would be different. This time he was setting the time for it. The time, 9:30 a.m., April 28, 1898. Did you know that you could set a day and a time for your healing? Did you know that there are times when you can decide when your miracle is going to happen? Some people say, oh, no, brother, that's all up to God. Well, let's see who's right. Now, you got to know, I'm not going to say stuff and make up stuff that I can't prove, okay? So if I were you, I'd be thinking, well, prove it then. Really, it's okay to sit there and say, prove it. I would want anybody to prove anything from the Bible. Anytime I hear a story, I'm always making sure it lines up with the Bible. And if it doesn't line up with the Bible, I'll throw out that part. At least it can't contradict the Bible. When I hear a story, I want to make sure it doesn't contradict the Bible or it doesn't count for me. You know, I'll just pat him on the head, praise the Lord, I'm glad you experienced Jesus in some way, but I'm not going to take what you said and try to turn it into doctrine. So anytime you read something, I want to know. So in the Bible, there was a couple times that people told Jesus how the miracle was to happen. The centurion, Jesus said, I'll come healing. The centurion said, no, just speak the word. He told Jesus what to do. Did you know you can tell Jesus what to do? Only with a right heart. The other time was the lady with the issue of blood. The Bible says that when she heard of Jesus, she said within herself, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And she came and touched him, and instantly she was made whole. She decided, when I touch him, I get it. There's times that will work for you. It happened for me one time. One time I had this terrible allergy come on me. You know, I'd been healed from allergies. So for a couple years, I had been walking in divine health, really, and healed of this chronic allergy that I had all my life. And but I was going to teach this Bible study for the singles group, and all of a sudden this allergy came on me at the house. And I'm like, oh, no. And I was teaching on healing. I'm like, this is going to kind of ruin everything. And I'm like, no. And, I'm blowing my nose and blowing my nose and thinking, golly, well, I got to go. So I went up to the church and unlocked the church and went in. Oh, no, I'm sorry. At the house, I decided, okay, well, in the name of Jesus, when I walk through the threshold of that church, I'm going to be well. I decided. I unlocked the church, walked through, and went straight to the Kleenex box to blow my nose some more. Nothing happened. Blowing my nose. The first fella shows up. A guy that I had won to the Lord. I actually won him to the Lord online. And he started coming to our church. This way back in America Online days. You remember those days? Brandy, you don't even know what that is. And then the other people showed up, maybe six or eight of us, and we I'm still blowing my nose. And I sat down to teach the Bible study, and instantly it all dried up. So I set the mark, and then I kept my faith at the door. Really, I did. I remember thinking, no, I decided. And then 15 minutes later, it was all well. And it was so dramatic that the next week, I'm teaching the Bible study, and I began to tell the story. And the first fellow that had showed up that day, he said, you're right, man, and I saw you, and I was thinking, aha, you're sick. And he said, but you're right. As soon as you sat down, it was all gone. Just little simple things. When you have a relationship with God, you can work this out with him. Okay? This is not so you can all just go pick a time and a day. What it's designed for is for you to release your faith. And that's why he picked a time. It was to release his faith. It was so that whoever was involved is knowing and expecting this moment. He even called and telegraphed friends, instructing them to pray at the appointed time. So, you know, it's this expectancy. He put his hands on Jenny and the paralysis left, the coughing left, her heart became normal, her temperature normal, and her breathing regular. That was the climax. Then with a voice as big. For us, that's not the climax. For us, the climax is getting the revelation. For us, the climax is I'm prepared. Then with a voice as big as her husband's boldness, Jenny cried out, "Praise God, I'm healed." Lake was startled. He had not heard such a powerful voice from her in years. And that began a great healing ministry for him as well. So, you know, when you hear stuff like this, and, you know, I remember hearing these as a young Christian, it's like, whoa, that makes it real for you, doesn't it? You know, you start catching the spirit of faith, it'll change everything about your life. It'll change the way you treat people. It'll change your love walk. When you all of a sudden realize that God is with you and He's your source and He can solve all of life's issues, all of a sudden I don't have to protect myself. All of a sudden I'm a different type of a person. You actually usually get nicer too. They said of John G. Lake that he was a real giver. He had gotten filled with the Holy Spirit. He said he was the hungriest man alive. He was the hungriest man alive, he said, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said he would walk around the streets and he said, people thought that I was filled with the Spirit because I was so on fire. He said, but I was really just hungry for the power. But they said he was a real giver. He said one time he caught a young man trying to steal his car. And he found out why and he let the kid have it to go borrow it, take his girlfriend out. Just kind of a funny little story. So how you feeling right about now? Are you a gospel person?
Yes.
Are you a word person?
Yes.
Does the word get first place in your life?
Yes.
Does it get last place in your life?
No.
How about first and last? Can we have a first and a last? It gets the word of God gets the first word. It gets the last word. It governs everything in between. Once you decide that in your life, it'll change you. Once you decide that, you won't be weak, you won't be feeble anymore, you'll have strength, you'll be the strong one in your life. Please stand. You'll be a tree like the rivers of living water. I mean, next to the rivers of living water. Hallelujah. We'll pray for people in a moment. Right now, let's consider praying. Somebody said it's the national day. We were asked to pray. Churches are praying everywhere. Come on up here. You want the band up? Band can come up. If you need help personally in any way, we're going to help you. But right now, let's pour out our faith and our heart for as far as we can get with it. All right? Matter of fact, I'm going to start with the whole world, but we're going to get down to our personal lives here, okay? So we did some of this Wednesday night and got in the spirit about it. Maybe we'll do it again today. But we can help. Christians can help. We're not going to do it through worry or worried praying. We're going to do it using our authority against the devil and against fear and hysteria. And we're going to ask God to help the leaders in charge of making policy so they don't ruin the world. All right, Father, in Jesus' name, we need you, we love you, we look to you. God, you're our Father, you're God over all the earth. We need help, really, over all the earth. First, I just want to say something about all the earth. We're going to pray for all men. First of all, you said pray for all men. First of all, pray for all men. We pray for all men everywhere. We pray for all people everywhere. All people everywhere that you have great mercy on them and don't let them make any dumb decisions. That all people everywhere have mercy on them, God. Guide them, lead them, and don't let them make any dumb decisions that'll ruin their lives. Help everybody see the truth. We rebuke the deception that everybody's facing. Don't let them fall for it. Have mercy upon mercy upon mercy. Upon the next one and the next one and the next
shine
one. Give them light. Shine light on them. Shine truth
light.
On them.
Shine
give them
light.
Comfort and hope. Everybody, everywhere. Yes. Have great mercy on them, Father. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Now I want to pray for all of the church leaders around the world. All the church leaders around the world. That you help them see clearly. That you give them wisdom to guide properly. Help them take care of the church wonderfully, God. Give them wisdom from heaven. Don't let them make any dumb decisions, no flesh decisions. Help them lead the church into triumph and victory and solidarity in Jesus' name with one accord.
Yes, Lord.
Help us be strong.
Yes,
church leaders, Lord, everywhere to be strong,
yes,
faithful,
Father,
kind, compassionate, and smart,
yes,
in every way in,
yes,
Jesus'
Lord,
name.
Yes, Father. We pray that their faith not fail them in this hour, Lord. Right now in the name of Jesus, that their faith will not fail them, Father. Right now that they will not be overcome by a spirit of fear, but their faith will rise up, that the truth will be known and declared, and that they will be governed by the word of God. We thank you for that, Father, for every leader, Father, that every decision is made governed by the word of God. And we thank you for just breathing the life of the Holy Spirit in them and through their ministry, Lord. We ask you to do that, Father, to keep them, guard their minds, Lord. Help them and keep them in the midst of difficult times, Fathers, and situations, and then being told things to do that might be contrary, Father, to your instruction. That they would be bold and courageous in this hour, Lord. That we would not be overcome by the world and the world system and the world governments, Lord. But that we would stand up boldly and courageously, Father, knowing that you are our keeper, Lord. So give them strength, Father. Give them peace, Lord. And give them the plan. Give them your plan, Father, for their cities, for their churches. Give them your plan, Lord, your plan. Father, you have a strategic plan for every place. Father, we ask that that plan be made known in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that.
Lord, we pray for all the world leaders in every country. All the leaders at every level in every country, Father. Grab their hearts and their minds and don't let them ruin things for their people. Let them make wise decisions. Turn them to make wise decisions.
Yes, Lord.
Don't let them be panicked or in fear or doing things for any reason except the well-being of the people. In Jesus' name. Don't let them ruin their countries. In Jesus' name. Don't let them ruin the world with panic and hysteria, Father.
Yes.
Let them make wise decisions only.
Yes.
Show them how to save their people from the disease and from the fears.
Right.
Help them in every way, God, in
Thank you, Lord.
Name. Father, Lord, we pray that there's a vaccine created, that the scientists do whatever you have to do to help the vaccine get created immediately. Speedily, right now, God, right now. Mm-hmm. Whatever medicine is needed, Father, get it done for us. We ask you in Jesus' name, help them. Help them, God. They're going to need it. The whole world's going to need it in Jesus' name.
Father, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we stand up with the authority given to us. Father, you said that we could take authority over anything that might come, that might be harmful. And so, Father, as people in the United States, we take authority over the spirit of fear that has gripped the government leaders, that has gripped people. We take authority over that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. And we say that the spirit of fear will not rule in the United States. We command the spirit of fear now to be put to naught in the name of Jesus. Now, we close the door. We close the door.
Yep. And we do it even here. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I rebuke fear off of every person here. No fear in our place. No fear in our hearts. No fear in our people. I rebuke you. I rebuke you. Get off our people. Get off our church. Get off our city. Houston is different. Houston is ours. Houston is ours. Get off our city. No fear. You're not ruining our city. Get off of our people. All over the city in Jesus' name. We raise a standard up.
Yes.
Against the devil right here. Not our city. And against the virus. I rebuke you. Off of our people.
That's right.
We sprinkle the blood over all of us. We sprinkle the blood over our church, over every church in Houston, and over the city.
Thank
Houston
you,
is different.
Thank
Houston
you,
is ours.
Thank you, Lord.
You listen in Jesus'
Thank
name.
Thank you, Lord.
And leave us alone. Brefosekene, brafasekena, brefosekene, prevosekene, and I rebuke the virus. Brevosekata, brevosekete, in the name of Jesus. You die. You're done. You stop. Brevosekata, brevosekata, brevosekete, brevosekata, brevosekete.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Brevosekata. And I rebuke the deception in the news media, the deception and the emotionalism, trying to make a buck off of spreading fear and panic. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Lord, let wise voices rise. Let good testimonies arise more and more and more in Jesus' name. Let good testimonies arise. All the recoveries, let them talk. All the recoveries, let them talk in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father, for every believer, Lord, for every believer that the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is upon them. For every believer, Father, that as we go out and about, Father, that we can eradicate the virus. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus in us, Father, causes that virus, that spirit of death, to be halted in the name of Jesus. So we thank you for that. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for the victory. We thank you for the victory. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We pray for the president of this country and all the leaders of this country, in this state, in this city. Help them, God. Help them. Lift them high, high, high above deception in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you honor. Thank you, Father. Thanks for caring for us. Thanks for caring for us. Keeping our country and our world at peace so we can spread the gospel. Give us fruit even from this. Fruit even from this. We ask you for fruit. We ask you for the heathen for our inheritance even now.
Thank you, Lord.
We trust you, Father. We trust you. We're not worried at all.
Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' name. Say it out loud. Say, I trust you, God.
Trust you, God.
Not worried at all.
Not worried at all.
The law of the Spirit of life.
Law of the Spirit of life.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Is in me.
Is in me.
Around me.
Around me.
And it makes me free.
It makes me free. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the revelations that are needed in this hour. The revelations, Father. We ask for the revelations for every believer that are needed in this hour. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the revelation of the goodness of God. Come on, He's a good God. Jesus went about doing good because He's a good God. We thank you for that revelation. Let's just anchor ourselves today in the goodness of God. He is a good God. He is a good God. He is a healing God. He is a helping God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We know that you're good. We know that you're good to us. We know that you do good to us. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world.
Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.